Penguin Random House Audio presents Marriage Be Hard, 12 conversations to keep you laughing, loving, and learning with your partner. Written and read by Kevin and Melissa Fredericks. This is the author, Kevin Frederick.
Introduction. This book is called Marriage Be Hard for two reasons. The first is that staying married takes some serious work, and everyone needs as much support as they can get. The second reason is that we didn't get that kind of support when the two of us got married 18 years ago. We grew up churchy, surrounded by opinions about love, sex, and marriage, but little concrete advice. At counseling sessions and marriage retreats, it seemed people were selling themselves and their relationships as perfect, or nearly perfect, while the two of us silently struggled. And social media didn't help either. Instagram can make you feel like every other couple is sailing through this marriage thing without having to put in the work. Looking back, we see that we were completely in the dark about what it takes to see a marriage through the stuff life throws at you. Financial struggles, mental health issues, dream chasing, parenting, and now quarantining? It's easy to get overwhelmed and lost. We did. That's why our podcast, The Love Hour, was born. The idea was to create a platform to provide the wisdom, candor, and counsel we wish we'd had when we were newly married.
Wait, hold up for a sec. Let us take a second to explain what we mean by churchy. Churchy is the culture of the Black church. It's more than just believing in God or worshiping on Sunday morning. It's the familiar connective tissue that a lot of us experience as children. It's Sunday school followed by 3-hour church services. It's chicken dinners between services and revival on a school night. It's 4-hour choir rehearsal and usher practice. Grown-up churchy means knowing the all-too-familiar call-and-response routines. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Won't he do it?
Won't he will?
I went to a meeting one night, and my heart wasn't right.
But something got a hold of me.
And of course, those churchy folks had plenty of so-called wisdom about sex. Here are some of the gems they imparted. Sex should occur only in the missionary position. It's better to marry than to burn. The actual verse says, it is better to marry than to burn with passion. In other words, don't torture yourself by not getting married and thus not having sex. But the way it landed for us was, you want to have sex so bad, better to get married than to burn in hell for having premarital sex. Lay down and be nice. This is a direct quote from the First Lady of Melissa's Church. Translation, when your husband wants sex, you better give it to him. And of course, there was the big one. Don't have sex before marriage. If you grew up Christian, you probably heard this yourself, but no one ever told us how not to have sex. And people need to know because sex is everywhere. You know how much sex was on Game of Thrones? A lot. What's worse is that your hormones don't care about your religious beliefs or your commitment to your spouse. Your hormones want you to subscribe to OnlyFans. We don't want that for you.
Of course, you could have gone to a Black church your whole life and had an entirely different experience. That's totally fine. This is our experience and the experience of the vast majority of our family and friends. Okay, back to what we were saying. Churchy people like to talk about everything, the pastor's last service, the praise team, even marriage. But there's a whole world of things you will never hear Christians talking about. Most of all, S-E-X. That's how it was for me. No one discussed sex unless they were telling you all the bad stuff that would happen if you dared enter a sexual relationship before marriage. So I did what they told me to do. I waited until marriage. I went to counseling. I went to marriage enrichment workshops. I attended all the women's Bible studies, but I still felt terrified and unprepared. In church, in Christian homes, no one shares what they're struggling with. It is common to hear, look where the Lord has brought me from. It's not so common to hear, look what the Lord is doing for me right now as I am struggling. Kev and I have struggled. Our marriage has gone through challenging seasons. I have felt devastatingly alone, even when Kevin was right in the next room. And now, 18 years into our marriage, we're working harder on our relationship than ever before. We pay close attention, we set aside time to talk, we go to therapy, and we deal with issues in our relationship as they arise. That's my primary reason for this book. On the podcast, we've tackled a wide range of topics, lots of which circle around Christianity and sex and how to reconcile a life that includes both. In one episode, we took a cardinal rule of Christianity, abstinence, and broke it down. We gave our listeners specific advice about how not to have sex before marriage. People went crazy. It was as if no one had ever gotten this kind of straight-up advice before. My initial intention was to serve as a teacher, but more often I ended up being a student. For example, I used to think that sex was a binary thing in a relationship. Men always wanted it and women could do without it. But when we interviewed Dr. Lori Watson, a relationship counselor and podcast host, I learned that there is such a thing as a higher desire woman and a lower desire man. While I was sitting in my chair learning all of this, I said, "Wow," out loud into my microphone. I was blown away, and it turned out I wasn't alone. When the episode aired, I received countless emails and DMs from women who thanked me for having a conversation about higher desire women. They had felt so lonely, thinking there was something wrong with them for wanting more sex than their husbands did. They worried that their husbands weren't attracted to them. Getting feedback like this reminded me daily of the good we were doing on our podcast. It was a not-so-gentle reminder that we all need constant, honest conversations in our marriage and about our marriage. If you and your spouse are going to build a healthy life together, you will need to get comfortable visiting and revisiting a whole range of topics together. From infidelity to sex to the way you navigate fights and disagreements, you're even going to have to talk about talking. If you've been letting these issues go unvoiced, you're not alone. It's hard to have difficult conversations in the flow of real life. Stopping the busyness of your day with the sole purpose of being honest and vulnerable is not a natural or easy thing. Once again, marriage be hard. But putting your relationship on autopilot can lead to even more unpleasant consequences. These were some of the many lessons we learned by hosting The Love Hour. For 5 years, the show served as our masterclass for marriage, sex, love, and life. It allowed us the opportunity to sit down with experts in all those fields, and we gained so much knowledge and wisdom. Last year, we brought the show to a close. There is peace in knowing when a task is completed, and we realized that's how we felt about The Love Hour. It was time to graduate to the next chapter. This book is our next chapter. It's a chance to reflect in greater depth on conversations we've had with experts and listeners while exploring many topics we've never discussed openly before. We think of this book as a gift to ourselves and to you, something we all can take with us on our relationship journeys. Part of our story reads like a Christian fairy tale. High school sweethearts, didn't have sex as teenagers, never sold any wild oats, never fulfilled exotic desires, and are almost 2 decades into this marriage? Together, we have gone from prom king and queen to college graduates to parents of adolescents, from broke newlyweds to 2 fully functional adults with thriving careers. The other part of our relationship would never be discussed on Sundays, the part where we talk openly in public about sex, infidelity, and divorce. Marrying each other was the smartest thing we've ever done, but that doesn't mean every day is a house party. It ain't. We are best friends who fell in love, and today we are still best friends. If you think that means it's been a cakewalk for us, you would be wrong. We have had more bumps along the road than we can count, and we're not naive enough to think all the bumps are behind us. When it comes to all the little things that keep a marriage smooth and clicking, we have gotten it wrong a whole mess of times. We have said the wrong thing to each other, done the wrong thing, and avoided the right thing. We have communicated ineffectively, failed to make our marriage the priority, and fought unfairly. A lot of our hurdles come from the fact that we are not naturally compatible. In fact, the cliche, opposites attract, is a more accurate depiction of our relationship. Recently, we took a bunch of character assessments and personality tests and learned that we are complete opposites. For one, Kevin is a dreamer and Melissa is a realist, and that dynamic was never more obvious than when Kev first decided...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?